Blog Talk Radio.
Information when it comes to the forum
paperwork to have monies for recovery for these disasters, we do not have the training and the know-how to take care or to apply. And many millions of dollars go unpaid simply because of what we do not know. So with that said, I am going to, Brother Aziz, unless you have other comments, I am going to go directly to Sister Aisha, and she will start keeping us being informed and telling us more about this training. But let me say one other thing before I turn it over. Brothers and sisters, it's so important to you to learn the training, not only to have an award sent to your own personal recovery, but to learn this training. Now you can apply for grants as to where you can now have grants as to where you can have your, help your communities, help your states, help to know how to apply for these funds for recovery. And like I said, with that said, Brother Aziz, unless you have comments, we'll go straight to Sister Aisha.
I'll comment later on, Brother Bilal. We want to get into that about the disaster preparation and recovery for sure.
Okay, well, we'll bring the sister on, and I'm certain before this program, we all will get a chance to make comments. So, Sister Aisha, without further ado, welcome to the show, and we're going to turn it over to you.
Yes,
thank you very much. Assalamu alaikum to everyone. And it's good to be back for another Wednesday night. And inshallah, we will make the best of our time together. And hopefully many of you will ask the tough questions. And it's only by you asking the tough questions do we get better on our end. And we need to constantly hear from you. Even if you disagree with what we have said, bring it to our attention, and we'll go back and do the research, because that's what we do, and our people are geared up to do that. So I want to get started by mentioning a few things about the course. By the grace of God, you all are going to have the flyer sent to you by Brother Bilal and Brother Aziz. In the next few days, we are trying to make sure that everything is lined up correctly. And to do what we are intending to do, it has taken at least 3.5 years of strong concentration by not just me, but other people who have been involved, so we can get this right. And those 3.5, almost 4 years, we didn't have a roadmap. And although we have, all of us have tremendous academic training and have been in academia and all these other fields, business fields, we still did not have a roadmap. And so we had to start at the basics. And hopefully we are now on this path, and we know where we're going. Now, we're working here as a team, and you all out there are part of this team. And so when you see us headed into a ditch, pull our coattail, and we'll go back and try to regroup. But we don't want to do anything to tarnish the name of the Black Belt Wall Street in any way. So with that being said, I'm your sister, and I need your feedback, and I need your prayers and your guidance, and our entire team, okay? So the training is going to take place. by starting July the 16th, inshallah. We do have the schedule, and you all will see all of this on the flyer. And when Brother Bilal and Brother Aziz send that flyer out to you, forward it on so we can fill up all of these workshops. We have dates lined up all the way through October. However, on the flyer you're going to see, it's just for the month of July. We don't want to bombard you with so much at one time. But we are scheduled all the way through to the month of October. And then, of course, we will conclude with the end of the year in December. And we will start another phase. And I'll talk to you about the other phase a little later, sometime around September. So a lot of this is testing the waters and see how the people respond. With that being said, I never mentioned to you the ultimate goal of Summit Environmental Resources. We've talked about the objectives and we talked about the processes, but our ultimate goal is this. Our goal is to support a group of community leaders who are at the table. Now, the table meaning all the way to the White House, who are at the table when hazard mitigation planning and project development processes are decided. Now, that's very important. When hazard mitigation planning and project development processes are decided, it's at this stage of being at the table where money allocations are made, where future job descriptions are designed and focused on, where regions in the country, and I'm gonna mention that again tonight, where the different regions in the country receive different kinds of funding, and also where the discussion of funding inequity takes place throughout all of the agencies, okay? So FEMA is the number one agency that is in charge of finances for climate change monitoring and control. There are 13 agencies in the U.S. that monitor and report on climate change. And just a few of these, you know them, Department of Agriculture, Interior, Health and Human Services, Energy, Commerce, Transportation, the Smithsonian, Aid to International Development, National Science Foundation, NASA, National Science Fund, the EPA, NOAA, the SBA, and we'll mention SBA again. These are a few of the agencies, of the 13 primary agencies that FEMA funnels the money that they are responsible for allocating through. We have to be at the table even before these agencies get their funding. So we are know what the funding is allocated for, and we can help make decisions. And I do believe that this is possible because FEMA is constantly stating that they want the input of the, quote, once again, here's a new name for us, underserved population. If that is the case, then we need to be at the table. But to be at the table, we also need some basic education. And I say education me also, some basic education on what this whole climate change truly means to us and how it is impacting our community. Okay? So please stop me at any point. You know, I can talk all night long, but I want to hear from you, and I want you to challenge what I'm saying. And that's a good thing. So if these funds are being allocated, such as so far this year, as of June the 9th, 2022, FEMA has awarded $12.8 million in grants to disaster survivors. This is individual assistance. The question is, were our people at the table with their application to get some of this $12.8 million? Now, this is as of June. So from January through June 9th, 2022, this is what has taken place. I don't know if we had political leaders who represent us at the table. So far, I haven't heard. And more than likely, they were not. Okay. But this is where we have to go. And I think that if we truly become, develop our relationships, our partnerships, and we learn the language of climate change, of which you will learn that language by the grace of God in the training. We learn the language, we will be able to decipher some of the information that is bombarding media, the virtual media. And it's every day it's being flooded with information. So I'm going to stop and ask for questions before I proceed. Anyone? Brother Aziz, Brother Bynum, anyone have questions? Hello?
Let me just say this. Our mics are open. I've opened all the mics to all of our listeners. So anyone who can hear us, we can hear you. Our mics are open, and so if you have any comments or questions, you can now participate. Our mics are open.
Okay, so, please go ahead.
Yes. When you say we have to come to the table as a group, and that could be all the way up to the White House, now, how do we start out to become one, at moving on up from local to, state or something like that? How do we organize, like, in that way to become a voice?
Yeah.
One voice.
That's an excellent question. The first way we organize is we're all speaking the language of climate change. We have to have that vocabulary. We have to have the language. And we have to have the understanding of what we're talking about. And the first step is always training. And that's what the training is going to be all about. And it's going to be on the level that we all can truly comprehend. Now, realizing that this is the first training. And as more people express the desire to move into a higher level, such as leadership, then we will go to the two other levels of the training. But we have to start here, all right? And based on the numbers that participate in the first round of training all the way to the end of the year, to the end of 2022, those are the numbers we're going to get started with by taking those numbers to FEMA and let them know that this is a constituent base, or this is a population that is ready to sit at the table. And what made me think that would happen? I remember I stated, I think last week or a couple of weeks ago, that there was an organization that developed in 2005 And from 2005 to 2019, they train 106,000 people in preparedness. As a result of that training, they were able to get a little over $500,000 to continue their training. But I haven't heard whether or not they have been invited to participate on a leadership level, and I don't even know if that's what they want to do. I think they want to just continue to train. But I have to tell you, 2005, nobody knocked on my door and said anything to me about training, although we were beginning to get involved with the concepts and whatnot. So we are also at the table when it comes to the Resilience Alliance. And because we are already a partner with that, it's going to propel us forward. And we're going to use all the strategies we know to bring the group together. Now, I'm a firm believer in the concept of community organization, because that was my beginning many, many, many years ago. And I saw the momentum of people demanding to be present and to be counted. That changed the political structure of this country. And those concepts are still needed. And we can do this. But we're going to take the first step. And then after we take the first step, which is training, we're going to start organizing our groups. Now, this is my perception. You all are going to tell me whether or not you think it's realistic or not. But we're going to start organizing our groups around what FEMA has started, has initiated, and that's the regional concept. So there are 10 regions in the U.S. Those are states, that is. But they are broken down into regions. And so if you hear that SBA has awarded so many grants to individuals. Now, remember, SBA, we think of it as business only. But no, they have money now to award to individuals, to households who have been damaged by, who have suffered economic devastation as a result of disasters. So when we hear that SBA has awarded funds to in Region 3 of this country, we know, and you will know, that Region 3 consists of Delaware, Maryland, Pennsylvania, Virginia, District of Columbia, West Virginia. That's the new language. They don't talk about states so much. They talk in terms of regions. That will be a resource chart on our website where you will be able to go and in just a few days, you'll be able to go into our website on the resources and pull down the 10 regions, and you'll see your state. And that's how you're going to have to start thinking, because that's the language that's put out there for the masses. So that's as much of an answer I can give you now. And I'm sure as we brainstorm, we'll come up with even more suggestions on the way to proceed. But this is the way that we are seeing that there is a path for us. And that's the numbers. And it has always been the numbers. Brother Aziz, did I answer your question?
Yes, pretty good.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Okay. Sister Aisha Bilal Bynum.
Yes.
Now, get back to regions. And
yes.
As we speak presently, right now, there is a storm coming through this region. And I'm here in Washington,
yes.
D.C.
That's
but
correct.
The storm is coming through the entire region.
That's
and
correct.
And already in a town called Warrenton, Virginia, winds just came through there at 80 miles an hour. And they have already did a massive amount of damage. And this is within the last hour or so. Now, these storms are going to proceed coming through for the rest of the evening until tomorrow morning. So the damage is just beginning, but there's already damage in Warrenton, Virginia. But then, too, this, like I said, the storm is going to come through an entire region. So when it's all over, we will know the damage from the storm. And now my thing is from this training, and because I know I don't know, and I would suspect most of our listeners don't know, but using what's happening and what's going on right now, and we know that there's already damage out there, and let's just say, and I'm glad, I mean, I'm sorry it happened to that community. Pray that it don't have to mind, but still, it's happening in the communities. Let's just say, if this was to happen to any of us, after the storm, after we realized the damage, what would be the first step, and this is what I would ask all of our listeners, what would be the first step you would do or you would take, knowing that you just went through what Warrenton, Virginia has just gone through, and many homes are destroyed, winds came through at 80 miles an hour, and it's not over with yet. But like I said, tomorrow, when the storm has passed and we realize our damage, and I ask those who are listening, but I'm asking Sister Aisha, who is our director and expert here, but I guess the first thing I would ask the listeners is ask yourself what would you do, and then Sister Aisha, I'm going to ask you, what would be the first thing if one was trained, they would do?
Okay. So anyone from the audience, if you have any reflections on that, any thoughts?
Yeah, what I'd like to say, Sister Aisha, Brother Aziz again, just kind of answering Brother Bilal's question, as a person that he was talking about. Well, not knowing no better, I guess Bilal, I would go to FEMA. I don't know where else to go. So, you know, I don't know. And that's just one place, you know, to go. But now I'll turn it back over to Saeed. I just want to be the person that is where I go first.
Yeah. Well, this is what I would recommend. I would not recommend necessarily going to FEMA. You will go first to the region. The region, which can include all of these states, you will go to the region office. And the region office for the regional office for Region 3 is in Philadelphia. But you will go there. They have a congressional department. They have a grant department, a news desk, and they have a private sector division, of course, tribal affairs, all of them have that, and they have a flood insurance division. You will have access to how to contact each one of these sources. And there is a general number you can call. But when you go to the congressional site, for FEMA in this region, that's where you're going to state your concern and find out from them, from the congressional office for Region 3. What can you do as a unified body of people, an organization to assist them, assist Region 3 in identifying the people who need assistance and the level of assistance? That's what I would suggest you do. Then the congressional office will start telling you about the grants that are available. If they don't tell you about the grants that are available, you will also know how to find out on your own, because we're supplying you with the information. And this, the information we're putting on the site for each region, it has been updated to reflect 2022, okay? So there is a path, and you will have it in the information that you will have available to you. But you're going to have to, when you go there, to the Congressional Office of FEMA for Region 3, you're going to have to talk with the vocabulary of climate change. And I tell you, they're going to be shocked, because your vocabulary will probably be better than theirs. And knowing the community, if you know the community, they're really going to be happy to have you, because they don't know the community, and they don't know how to identify within the structure of the community where the issues are, and you will be a great help to them. That's how you will get the organization that we want to pull together with Black Belt Wall Street and the other organizations that you all are going to bring. That's how we become one body and one voice. Does that make sense? But you're going to have everything. You're going to have the information.
Yeah.
And this is the way we... Go ahead.
Good evening, brothers and sisters, and assalamu alaikum to my brothers and sisters in Islam. This is Sister Joyce, and I am calling. I am in Region 6. But
Region,
I was calling
yes,
in regard to the flyers. Will there
yes.
be any type code on the flyer that we can identify
yes.
in terms of keeping with the group registering, you know, concept? Will we
yeah.
be able to have the code on the flyer that when we either go, when New African Business Association, Black Belt Wall Street, when we go to Eventbrite to put in our code, will that code be available on the flyer?
That code is available on the flyer. And there's a statement that says, please enter the code when you do your registration so you can get the 10% discount. But more importantly, the 10% discount is an incentive. But more importantly, we want you to put the code. And that code identifies Black Belt Wall Street. And the code is BBW. And, yes, that's what you're going to put on your registration form. For
okay.
the course. And,
thank you.
And it doesn't matter throughout the country. Wherever that flyer goes, it will say identify your code when you do your registration.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Thank you. Mm-hmm.
Yes. Now, it's not going to be on Eventbrite. We chose to put it on Summit's website because
good,
we
good.
Have control.
Yes. Well, I wasn't going to say anything, but when we had a project that we were doing, I guess it's still floating around in cyber somewhere, but Eventbrite, I was kind of leery, but I'm happy to know that you have changed your vision.
No. Listen, speak out. And when we looked at that thing again and I know Eventbrite sends me all kinds of courses, and they, if they send my stuff and your stuff, they are shopping around, and it's for their benefit as a marketing tool. And we don't want our people shopped around like that, okay? So, no, that's one of the reasons we don't have it tonight, is because we had to restructure that thing and put all of the validation and security mechanisms in place. And this virtual world, sister, is no joke, I tell you.
I hear you.
So it just took us a few extra days to make sure that all of our top security and verification site are in place, because we chose not to use Eventbrite. They make it easy for you, but they benefit tremendously, and they do circulate your stuff. Okay?
I hear you. Yes, ma'am.
Okay.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. You're welcome. So, Sister Joyce, you know in Region 6, Arkansas, Louisiana, New Mexico, Oklahoma, and Texas, you're in Tornado Alley, right?
Yes, ma'am.
You know that.
Oh,
and
yes.
You know, and you know there's this year, there is going to be a tremendous increase in the number of tornadoes. Well, all hurricanes, you know, and tornadoes, but including tsunamis. So you are in Tornado Alley, and you're going to have, it is predicted that you're going to have a devastating year, rest of the year.
Wow. So, well, yes, ma'am. I'm not surprised that this is the region I am in the area in which I reside. And we'll just have to go to this training so we can be prepared. Yes, ma'am.
And you will be prepared. I was looking at a clip on some of the things people in Region 6 in New Mexico and Oklahoma are doing, individuals. And these obviously are individuals that have a whole lot of money. They are doing their construction now of the dome-shaped construction, their houses. And and this dome shape will withstand a level 5 hurricane and the sharpest winds. And they are very good looking. And, you know, we all wish we could afford that, but you're talking about millions and millions of dollars. But they are, and they're saying this is survival for Armageddon. That's the way they see it, the people who are building these dome shapes.
Well,
they call it survival for Armageddon. But I said that to say there's a whole group of people who have the resources to restructure their physical existence in these areas. But we don't have that. I don't have that. And the majority of people do not have that ability. So we're going to have to do everything we can on the front end of preparedness, you know?
Right.
So I just wanted to point that out. But you're going to, in Region 6, you're going to have news desk and grant desk. And you'll become familiar with them, and you'll call them, and you'll talk to them, and you will let them have your name and how to get in touch with you, and you will let them know you want to be a resource for them, because you're in the community and you are working in the community with the people to get them organized and prepared. I'm telling you, they will be happy. You know. Any other questions?
Yes, I have. How big of a community has to be? And that can, when we say community, that means a center and so much outside of the radius. Is that a community, or is a community a city?
A community can be a, if you're just dealing with your region, your community is all the states in the region. Okay. If you're, but if you're dealing with the community of all over the United States, the community of preparedness is all over the United States. I'm dealing with the community of preparedness all over the United States. And the reason you can do that is because the course is geared for the constituents all over the United States.
That's
so therefore,
wonderful.
We're going to claim, we claim every region. You, yeah. Do you follow me?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So we that, don't, we don't great. Have, we don't have any limitations to claim all of the U.S. because I do believe there are going to be people from every region in the U.S. who have taken that course, and we're going to use that data. Okay?
So,
so
if, let's
who,
say, let's
what
say,
better group to sit East. At the table?
Mm-hmm. So let's say I'm one
I'm
of
sorry.
These... let's say I live in Southeast D.C., and I'm a community representative over in that part of town. And I want to get some funding and stuff in case this disaster hits and it's all over town, and I want to just take care of that southeast side of town that I live in. Now, in order to be able to do that, I have to. Do I have to have the understanding to go to the regional, or do I go to somewhere else to get funding just for the area where I'm at, even though I have a plan? Of, do I go seek a grant to get that? Per se.
Well, you can seek a grant to get funding to help any part of the district, okay? Because it's in Region 3. But to get the funding for anyone, there's a declaration process, and that and I can go mention those steps in just a few minutes. You can get, if you don't know the disaster, the level of disaster over there in Southeast, you're gonna need the exercise officer at FEMA for Region 3. If they haven't sent their team out to Southeast to assess the damage, you will let them know you all need to go to Southeast and assess the damage. So we can assist the people, meaning you, can assist the people in applying for the grant. That's the kind of grassroots help they need.
Yeah.
Do you follow? So, yes, then
yeah.
You can apply. Then you're going to want to apply for Southeast. But why limit yourself just to Southeast when you have these other states who will
yes.
probably be declared as disaster areas? And you're going to have people who have taken a course from these other states. So team up together.
Mm-hmm.
But
yeah,
you're going to make
yeah.
yourself known to the exercise officer and the congressional office, and
okay.
and you'll have that information. And
what?
Our job, FEMA's, Summit's job, is to walk with you all, because whether you're coming in as a for-profit or a non-profit, we are coming in with you. And we're going to be on your back end doing the research and knocking on the doors with you. Now, there are some things that a for-profit can do because we don't have the restrictions that the nonprofits might, okay?
Mm-hmm.
But it's the nonprofits that the government gives the grant to. We can only serve as consultants to you all. Okay.
I was going to ask in terms of making referrals. say, you know, as we are all trained, you know, just saying that we're all trained, and someone was to come to us for, since we're going to be in terms of, the, you know, trained for each region. So
no.
When a, I'm
go
sorry.
Ahead.
So
go
when
ahead.
A person was to come to us who may need assistance from another region outside of where we are, will we be able to make referrals to that person or that group to tell them where their best place to go to get assistance?
Yeah, you're gonna have and they can do it. Look for themselves because this is all gonna be on the website on the resource tab. All of the regions, the breakdown of all the 10 regions, the states that comprise these regions, the kinds of storms that are coming in these regions, and the congressional offices that are responsible for the region. Okay?
Okay.
It's all going to be on the site. But now, the training is in disaster preparedness. How you will prepare yourself, your family, and your neighbors and the people around you in preparedness, because preparedness is the very first step to mitigation, resilience, and sustainability. And this is the language that they use. And they are putting more money before FEMA put most of the money in recovery. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Now, with the new congressional direction, a large percentage of the money is going to be put in preparedness, and that's what you all will have training in.
Okay. Let me ask another question then. Will we be trained in terms of where preparedness stops and another group, say recovery, will pick up or whatever comes next?
Yes, and you're going to understand that. You're
okay.
going to understand that because preparedness is before the storm and recovery is after the storm. Is
okay,
it is.
Okay,
yes.
Gotcha.
It's
mm-hmm.
after the storm. We're talking about preparedness, pre-disaster
okay.
preparedness.
An event.
Before
in other
the
words,
storm.
An event. You know, we're prepared.
Well,
should this take place?
You are prepared, right, right.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you.
And that's the emphasis now. There was a lot of support in this recovery sector, and hardly no support in the preparedness sector. So the federal agencies recognized that was an error, not to put resources in the preparedness sector. And now that they are putting more of the resources there, okay? And they also recognize that was an issue from Katrina when it took them 72 hours. We're talking about the recovery now. It took 72 hours to rescue the people in Katrina. They realized that there was a breakdown on the preparedness end because some of those people could have gotten out if they had the training in preparedness and what to do. Okay.
Yes, ma'am.
So
thank
did
you.
Did I answer your question?
Oh yes, very much. Thank you.
Okay. You're welcome. Anyone else?
One more.
Yes, go ahead.
Okay, I was going to say, in the process of preparedness, Aisha, appears to me to be the most vital part in the recovery process. If you already prepared for something like this to happen, you already have things in place, like you were talking about a few weeks ago about food, shelter, and clothing for situation like this beyond your home or you know, and that you have at home in case something like this happens. Is that so that the preparedness is a key part in the recovery process?
A preparedness is the requisite for a to assure better statistics in recovery. Because recovery during Katrina, and we use that as a model a lot of the recovery could have been avoided on the part, you know, from the federal agencies stressing, being stressed to recover thousands and hundreds of thousands of people if many of them, and they haven't told us what the percent, but if many of them had simply been prepared. And something as easy to do as the family sitting down having a plan, and they and the family will ask themselves, given a hurricane, are we going to evacuate or shelter? And of course, they're going to say, oh, we're going to shelter. I mean, we're going to evacuate, excuse me. I want to go on record stating that we don't recommend anybody sheltering, but some people do have to shelter. But so the family's going to say, we're going to evacuate. Then the next question is, evacuate to where? And that's when the family's going to have to say, well, we have Aunt Ida living in New York, so we're in North Carolina and the storm is coming southeast. We'll just go to New York. But you don't want to go to New York. You're going where the storm is. So those are the kinds of things you will have insight in understanding. And then the problem with Katrina, the people could not evacuate because they didn't have any transportation. They were in a city. They had no transportation. So they had to wait to be rescued. But in pre-disaster planning, where you can come in is to tell the region, these are the people who have no transportation, so something has to be arranged prior to the storm to evacuate them. And the logical thing is buses. People have to know where they can go and get on a bus. They did not even have that during Katrina. People who wanted to evacuate, there was no buses that they could go and get on. So these things sound like small things, but they are dire, dire things during a storm. And they're easy things to resolve. And I'm sure that most of you all would have come up with, well, if you need to evacuate, you don't have a car, you need to get on the bus. And somebody's going to have to supply that bus. And so FEMA's going to have to supply buses for people to evacuate on. And then they're going to have to decide where the people are going to go. But those are things that can be taken care of in pre-disaster planning. Did I answer your question? Hello?
Yes, definitely.
Well, you surely answered mine.
Yeah.
Mr. Aisha, I think I want to just comment on what has been said so far.
Please do.
And brothers and sisters, I've been knowing this from speaking with the sister for some time. We're talking about recovery before and after a disaster. And we're talking about having training as to where once we're trained, we can go to any region in this country and we can apply for assistance from the government to be representatives in any region before and a recovery, so after the storm in any region, after we're trained. You see, so again, once you have this training, you have, and let's go back and listen to what was already been told to us. In this country, there is about over 100,000 citizens that are trained in the entire country. And this 100,000 citizens that are trained are representing all the regions in this country. There is no way 100,000 trying to train. I mean, 100,000 probably couldn't even train one region to say that they're doing it efficiently, because you have so many states. And each state needs so many thousands of representatives in each state. So once you start talking about an entire region, and we have less than 100,000, the region itself needs more trainers. But now we're talking about an entire country, and the entire country has no more than 100,000 trainers. So therefore, like the assistant has been telling us, last year disasters, the monies that was appropriated for disasters, most of those monies have not been spent. And the reason the money has not been spent, no one has applied for the monies. And of course, if no one has applied for the monies, they don't know how to apply. Now, we just, like I said, Warrenton, Virginia just had we're having a storm right now, and we know there is damage. But the monies that the new monies that are being appropriated is going to come in, and the old monies that's already been appropriated is still sitting there. Why? Because no one is trained to receive these funds. That's what I mean about brothers and sisters. We are on this training, and why it's so important to get this information out to our communities is because we have the opportunities now to become the leaders in federal announcements all over all of these regions. And when I say federal announcements, I'm talking about the contract that the government is asking for folks that could assist them, because that's what the grant is all about. The government wants assistance to assist them into recoveries before and recoveries after the storm. You are trained now from our training. Now you are available to go into every region in this country. It doesn't have to be in your region, which is big enough, but the entire country. Brothers and sisters, how could you not be called? I would say called to service, but called to fill these grants and these recoveries before and after the storm in every region in this country. This is the opportunity that you are going to get for paying less than $50. You have the opportunity to get grants that could pay you $100 to $1 million or even more in grants, depending on your training and just what you really know as far as before and after the storm and the disaster recoveries. A rare opportunity here. And Sister Aisha, I wanted to paint that picture. And now I'm going to turn that back over to you. And hopefully I've made a good observation of how important the training really is, and then for what the cost and the opportunity to you for being trained. I mean, you would think this would be something that there would be a rush
Yeah. Well, you know,
because of the importance of the training, but the and how valuable it is to you. Sorry, someone turned it back over to you.
Yeah, and you know, and it probably will be, and I will, and I hope, and I know that it will. What we have done is to be very careful that what we put out there is in compliance with FEMA. And most of the information from the training is taken from FEMA publications, from their courses. I'm FEMA certified. And when I went through my certification with FEMA, and I chose to go come in at a very high level certification because I wanted to see what it was all about. And so I said, okay, well, this is pretty good. Let us design a training that follow this same pathway. So if they dissect our training and the materials, they will really be saying, yeah, well, this is good. This is our stuff, because it is their stuff. And the information that we're supplying in the training is information you can pull together yourself if you have 3 years to sift through the information that's out there and put it in a language that the people can understand. We are not reinventing the wheel here. Okay, we are very carefully following what they have put in print and interpreting it, okay, for the community. So if you have the knowledge and able to speak the language, you can talk about we getting people in your community throughout the country or in your immediate community prepared for disaster. And we call it the toolkit for the tool for survival, because that's what it is. And you're going to get that information. And I want to say that if you remember HUD Community Development Block Grant money, now since 1990, listen to this, since 1990, HUD's Community Development Block Grant money can be used for disaster relief. Did you all know that? I did not know that. Since 1990.
No.
But the process is slow. The process, it is slow, but it can be used. Now, since 1993, HUD has provided nearly $100 billion in disaster-affected communities across the United States. $100 billion. How many of us who are listening today and people that you know of have been positively impacted by receiving some of that $100 billion? I don't know not a single person. Not to say that they didn't get it, but this is how we must understand how things have changed. I haven't talked to anyone in the nonprofit sector who talked about using community development block grant money for disaster relief. Not a one. I don't know if they truly understand that HUD actually provides this resource. But it's available to us. But we have to understand that it's available, know that it's available, and request that we are part of the distribution channel for the funds. And also, did you know that 86% of the loan applications through the SBA are for homeowners who have been affected by the disaster? And we usually think of SBA as just business, but 86% of their loan applications came from homeowners. And this is something that we need to look into And actually, they have a good program going now. And they've been funded for some more, with some more resources. So these are the things that we want to emphasize. We are not reinventing the wheel, and we are not telling you something that you can't find out on your own. We have come together as a corporation, pulled all of these resources together, sat on there, became partners with the federal agencies, listen to what they have to say, know the direction that they are going, and tracking the resources. And that's what we have been doing for the last 3.5 years plus. So when you hear the language in the course, and we are going to get started with some basic vocabulary, I think just a few words that you got to truly make a part of your vocabulary. It's not complicated at all. It's really quite easy and quite simple, but it's very informative. And when you start interfacing with these federal people in their offices, do not think that these people have more knowledge than you. They do not. And I bear witness that they do not, you know. And they will be absolutely excited for you to walk in and be able to tell them that this is the direction you should be going. But when you give them your information, they're going to have to give up something in return. This is not a one-way situation. And giving up in return is to help your constituent base get the grants, help people to get jobs doing what they are doing, right, and helping the community. And that's what we are all about. Okay. Any other questions, comments?
Our mics are open, brothers and sisters. We welcome your comments. Our mics are open.
Oh, I want to say, go ahead.
I am going to make a comment on what Sister Aisha was just talking about, and that is your understanding the communications, the language, and that's what you will be learning in the training. Well, brothers and sisters, once you understand the language, because see, it's that language that you are presenting in your grant, because it's that language, is that communication, is the wording that we will be learning. And when you're writing a grant, I'm only telling you about information that I know something about, because I've had grants written and issued. And it wasn't myself so much who had the grant, got the grant notice, or I would say got the grant approved. Yes, it was my format, which means it was my language, it's what I do, but it was the expert grant writers who actually present the grant. Brothers and sisters, we have those expert grant writers. Matter of fact, I wanted one to come on with us tonight, a CPA, who has written many grants for many organizations. She was a little busy, but she promised that she will be coming on. She promised she loves what she's hearing. And a couple of them are saying that they will work with us. But again, you see, so when you go in and learn what the Sister Aisha and the school that she'll be putting you through, once completed, that's what I mean now, you can go to any region you want to, because you have the communications. You know the communications. And now you have a professional grant writer. Once you give them your communications, they can put it into the grant itself because they know that those who are issuing the grants, the ones who are going to see your grant, they know the type of language and they know that these folks will more or less be looking for and what to put. I heard Sister Aisha say something a few moments ago that I thought was catching, and I forgot what she said, but it was something about the title of the grant itself. And that title was so doggone catching, and that's what you're going to find to be catching once you have your grant witness, like you said, it's communications, and then of course having an expert to put your grant together. And believe me, like I said, these disasters are just starting. They don't, and when I see a situation where last year's money haven't even been allocated and new monies are being appropriated and waiting for an allocation, I am looking at a wonderful opportunity for those of us who never been privileged enough to say that I have money and I was able to get recoveries for anyone in any region. And it was through your grant that got these folks their relief. That's what I mean about we can be more or less the leaders in this thing. And it's so big. So I wanted to just make that, give you that illustration from 1 year ago who did have grants issued by the federal government because I had a program that I knew my language and a professional grant writer put my language and my ideas together, and it was presented. Sister Aisha, I'm going to send it back over to you.
Alhamdulillah. Well, you know, we're not saying that we know that there are federal funds out there, but that's not our primary objective. Our primary objective is to have a large society of people, a group of people who are prepared for the natural disaster that's coming our way. And according to the statistics, less than the people, the affected group, and that's us again, we are only 30% prepared for a natural disaster. 30%. So that means that 70% of us are not prepared. And like I said before, it has nothing to do with that education level. It's not having the awareness, and we're going to talk about awareness because awareness is on us. And we're going to talk about making the transition from awareness, conscious awareness, and that's where we have to go. And if you all remember the lesson of the civil rights era, everybody was aware of racial discrimination. All of us, all of our people, knew that we were treated poorly, badly, discriminated against. But it was only when the leaders, including Dr. King and many others, made us consciously aware, were we ready to take action. And that's to where we have to come, the conscious awareness. And this is the very first strategy to preparedness that we're going to talk about. And once we see that we are not, we are academically aware that climate change exists, see it on television, you hear about it, and you feel it. And you are feeling it in high prices, the food, the oil, the gas, the disease, the contamination, the increase in animal rages against human population. You're seeing all of these signs, okay? You're seeing it in the increase in the water, the cost of water, drinkable water. You're seeing it in a loss of breathable air and mass migration. And that's the whole topic within itself, how this mass migration is going to affect our lives. We can't, there's going to be more conflict and wars. Increased water vapor, the humidity in some places is unbelievable. Increase in violent crime, increase in climate injustice. These are some of the consequences of climate change. And this is how it's affecting our lives. The emotional anxiety, the fears are beginning to set in to the population because of the actions of other people in the population. And we are internalizing this, and it's impacting our health. Climate change, and this is some of the consequences of it. So, yes, we're going to talk about all of this because we all have to go from being aware to consciously aware before you do anything. I hope that was clear. So there are many advantages. And what I say to you all, bring your neighbor, bring every member of your family, especially over 13, over the age of 13, 12 or 13. You know your family, and some things we might say or we might have a slide. And it might be too much for young children because don't put them through it. But talk to them later on about climate change. Give them a function. And we're going to talk about how the family unit will be able to sift through disasters when they do occur and manage them within the household and within the family structure. These are some of the things that we're going to talk about. But get everybody, and if $45 is too much for one person to pay, get everybody to pay $3 and sit there and go through this training. But however, when we ask you to give us numbers, if you got 10, 20 people in your house, we want that number. We want the 20 people in the house, okay? Because it's the numbers that Summit is going to use along with Black Belt Wall Street as we approach the federal agency, okay, the numbers. And that's what's going to launch us far ahead of the numbers of people who have been touched by disaster preparedness training, okay? Any other questions or comments? Oh, Brother Bilal made a comment earlier about the appropriations of funds. And I've said this before, Department of Homeland Security, the FEMA agency, from 2017 through 2022, they received an appropriation of $70.1 million. This is just one agency, right? $70.1 million. As of 2022, they had only spent $50.3 million of that appropriation. Now, this is from the FEMA database dated March 31st, 2022. Okay. So, when Brother Bilal mentioned about not having spent all the money that was appropriated to the department, this is a good case. you know. And it goes, the list goes on and on and on of lack of lack of expenditure compared to what they were appropriating. And HUD, and I have to mention HUD, HUD was appropriated $39.5 million. And as of 2022, they had only spent $3.8 million. And I don't know what their problem is. U.S. DA, they were appropriated $9.8 million. And they have only paid out $4.3 million. I have no idea what their problem is either.
Yeah.
You know? So these are the things that we want to be mindful of as we go forward. And they might have good justification for not spending the money. Maybe they can't find organized groups who are doing anything out there in the community to assist the people to be prepared where they can put the money in continuing the preparedness effort of large groups of people. And that's what we need in America. We need, and we're the people who can bring, who can put the courses together and train the people. And when I say we are, I'm talking about our relationship, our partnership with Black Belt Wall Street, and then there will be other groups coming in to be partners with us. And we'll, as many people, many organizations that want to come in with us, they can, because that's what it's going to take. And I do believe that the federal agencies will welcome the assistance that we are giving them, because we are bringing the people that they are responsible for assisting to their front door. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And I hope all of that makes sense.
Brothers and sisters, our mics are still open. Go right ahead, Brother Isaiah.
I was going to ask Sister Aisha, can an organization, can an organization go to each one of those organizations that have been given funds to distribute? Can let's say our organization and go and petition funds from all of those different ones?
Absolutely, but when we go, we need to be taking large numbers with us, not as.
Mm-hmm.
You know, one single body. We need to be taking the voice of the people with us when we go. And we can go, like I said earlier, although you are in Region 3, you can represent all 10 regions if we have people from all 10 regions who have taken the course. And by them taking the course, they are part of our organization and constituent base.
Yes, okay.
We can go to every one of the regions because we are taking the people with us. Now, remember, when you take the course, this is your first step. Many of you, those who choose to, some of you want to take the course just for the benefit of your own family and your own community. That's fine. But some are going to want to take the course for that benefit as well as continuing to grow in a leadership role in this climate change arena, because it's going to continue. Climate change is going to continue. And we need more leaders out front. People who can train other people. So I'm saying I need to replicate myself and my staff over and over again with other people. So if any of you, after this first training, see that you want to be a national leader, let's get back together for part two and part three. And we will be working on getting FEMA and somebody, B-O-D-Y, to certify our course as a national, as a national major course. Okay? So we're working on that. And the wonderful thing is to be able to get an HBCU to certify it, because HBCUs are not, they don't have a track record on certifying national programs. They don't have that track record like these big non-HBCUs have. So they need to step up to the plate. So my trust and experience, they need to train, their people need training, need to be refocused as well. Mm-hmm. And I say this because I'm two blocks from a major HBCU, working out of my home in North Carolina, as opposed to our Charlotte office. And I'm an alumni, and I'm very familiar with what's going on at these HBCUs. So that would be the ideal situation. And if we have the numbers, we can walk into those HBCUs and say, certify this course as a national, with a national certification. You know? And I know that's possible because many years ago, I set up the International Trade Certification Program for one of the HBCUs. And it was an international program. And that was during the time when the U.S. government wanted businesses in the U.S. to export. When America was losing ground in exporting because we were importing and we forgot in our manufacturing, we lost a lot of that. So it can happen. So that's where we're going. There are many things in the future that we can do if we go together, but it's limited what we can do if we go as an individual company or an individual organization. Okay?
Yes. Yeah.
So brothers and sisters and brothers, like Sister Aisha was saying, and I know we've been talking about the flyer completion. And Sister Aisha, anything you want to say about the flyer, you can, but let me just say that when this flyer is completed, brothers and sisters, and Sister Aisha was just talking about some of our colleges. We're talking about our churches, our masjids. But we're talking about trying to get this information to just about 1 million of our citizens. And our flyer will more or less speak for itself.
It will.
And that to say, get this flyer to every organization. And have to be African-American organizations. That's our emphasis. But any organization, all organizations, get this flyer to as many organizations and as we possibly can, because, again, it's the numbers. We get 1 million strong. Once we become 1 million strong, there is so much we can do now with our power simply because of the numbers. So We got to spread the word. On our first training, sister, you say it's coming up July?
July the 16th. That's the first one.
So you can see in the month of July.
Go ahead. What were you saying?
No. Go right ahead. Go right ahead, sister.
In the month of July, we're going to have 5 sessions in the month of July. And you don't
want to miss any of these sessions. So we are testing the waters.
We have some concepts that we are testing the waters. That's why we chose the date. Nothing is arbitrarily with us. Everything is thought out in detail. The dates, the times. But we're having 5 sessions. Go ahead, brother. What were you saying?
Well, my concern is that, and I know we don't have the information out there to most of you, we've been talking now for a few weeks, but now we should have material that more or less can explain itself. We need you, we need all of our listeners, and I am a little concerned because I know I'm not seeing the numbers that I expect to see this time participating with us. So we have to be a bit more proactive, but this is one that we cannot miss this one. And again, $50 or less than $50 groups can have this training. But so again, when we get these flyers out, please, whatever you do, make certain you get with all of those that we know and make certain that they are, in other words, if I can... If I know 20 or 50 people that I can get this flyer to, then I am going to ask those that I know if they know 20 or 50 folks that they can get the flyer to. We need the numbers. And I know what we're asking you to do. We're asking you to become a worker with us and work with us, because New Africa Business Association, Black Belt Wall Street, we can bring about valuable information, but we need the community to become active and to activate the valuable information, and in this case, that we're bringing you. So, Sister Aisha, I must turn it back over to you.
Yeah.
In our closing, we will have the flyers, I know, by the next time we speak.
Yes,
ma'am. They'll be sent out as soon as we get them. But in that case, Sister Aisha, you can, if you want to tell them some highlights about the fire or anything you want to say, you may, within our closing.
Well, you know, it's a beautiful flyer, and it's very descriptive, and you will be able to just click on the bottom of the flyer where it says click for registration and go right to the registration page. And then after you fill out the registration page, you're going to go right to the payment page, and you're going to put in your don't forget to put in BBW. It tells you on the flyer. And that's how we will keep track of the numbers from each organization. Now, this is BBW stands for Black Belt Wall Street. However, Black Belt Wall Street is also going to bring other organizations on board. And that organization will have a code as well. But everything basically goes all the way back to Black Belt Wall Street. So we do have a system, but other groups, they will have recognition. So when we do go forward, we will be taking these Black Belt Wall Street, New African Business Association and Black Belt Wall Street will be taking all of these groups forward. And that's the idea. Every movement, and this is a movement for our survival. Every movement starts with leadership, okay? And we are thankful. We are thankful to Allah. We're thankful to God for giving us an organization that has the legacy as New African Business Association does. And so we are very thankful for that. And so we're going to move ahead as a group. And I'm very optimistic about it because climate change and these disasters are going to be kicking us. And at some point, our people are going to wake up and other people are going to wake up and say, I'm tired of being pushed around by this storm. One of the things we cannot control the storm, but we certainly can control our own actions, and that is to be involved and to take control of our families and some of the things that's going to happen to them if we do not prepare ourselves. We don't want to be like the folks in Katrina. And some of them, even after Katrina, they still have not gotten their families back together. Some are still over there in Houston, in different places. I have a friend, family, they were evacuated to Houston, and they are so split up, they have not been able to get back together as a family. Well, and they are, of course, very at the federal agencies, but the federal agencies were totally caught off guard as far as recovery. They were caught off guard, but if we're out there in the field and if our organizations know their constituent base, we won't be caught guard again. We will be able to implement, at least know who our people are. And if you have a religious organization and if they have 200, 300, 400 people, they know their people and they know the needs. And so let's come together and let's do for ourselves. And when I say do for ourselves, yes, we pay taxes. So whatever resources that are available, we'll go after them. But we're still doing for ourselves, okay? So you will, by the grace of God, the flyers, like I said, it is complete. We're just doing beta tests to make sure that we have all the kinks out of the system. And then we're going to get it up to Brother Bilal and Brother Aziz. And you all going to go with it from there, okay?
Thank you.
But we're ready. We're certainly ready and excited to get started and stuff. And let other groups know they're going to remain intact as an organization. We are not saying we want to take over anybody's organization. That's not how you come together as a group. You know, we come together as our organizations, as many name organizations as we have, because name organizations bring a constituent base. Okay. And even if only 200 or 300 of their people have been trained, they might have 5,000 or 6,000 in membership. Those are numbers. Okay. So I thank you all so much for giving me the time this evening.
Thank you.
And I look forward to and don't forget myself, Sister Joyce has been there all along, and she is fired up and ready to go. And she's going to take an active part in this training down the road, and we would like to train as many people to do what I do. If you know people out there who want to do this, please let me know. We will have a special training for people who are training to be trained. Okay.
Great.
And this is we'll start this after people, we get enough people who have said, I want to do this as soon as possible with them. Because for the rest of the year, from August on through to December, we hope to have twice, if not three times, the number of training for each month. If we start out with five, we hope to have at least 15, if not more, per month after that. And that's going to take quite a few people. Okay?
All right. Well, yes, thanks so much, Aisha. Like I said, this is a continuation. We promise that, again, when the flyers are out, we will be getting those out to you as soon as possible. But the biggest thing is getting that information out to all of our communities and our churches, our sororities, fraternities, colleges, or what have you. This is where this information needs to be.
Okay.
Until next week, we will be right back continuing to talk about disasters. And remember, these disasters can be natural, or these disasters can be man-made. But we do know that if we can organize our numbers and have our numbers large and have our numbers ready to respond, I think we will be ready for any type of disaster that confronts us. So, unless we have any other comments, we will call it an evening because we had a nice participation this evening, but it wasn't one of our largest. And at this point, we should be having very large participations because of the importance of what we are trying to achieve here. So if there are no other comments, first I'll just say this is a chance for anybody to comment. So if you have any comments, now's a good time. We're ready to hear your comments, and we welcome your comments. So again, we welcome your comments.
Just want to thank Sister Aisha again for coming on and sharing information with us about the disaster prevention and recovery.
Well, like I said, Sister Aisha and our brother, New Africa Business Association, we're going to be a permanent part of each other from here on in. So she should be somewhere with us or somewhere close by just about at all time from here on in. So again, go right ahead.
May I say before we leave one another, on Monday, we were to have met via Zoom with the World Conference of Mayors. Sister Aisha, were you able to get in on either of those calls? Maybe she's gone. Well, anyway, we were supposed to have gotten in on the World Conference of Mayors Zoom, one of their Zoom calls, and it was with the youth. And I know we were talking about trying to get some youth involved. So I was hoping that, you know, she had, was able to go on Saturday. I don't know what happened Sunday. We went there Sunday, but I guess they forgot Sunday was Juneteenth as well as Father's Day. So they had done it on Monday. But I will surely have a report for you guys the next time we meet as to whether or not that meeting of it Paul took and participated, if not, when the next one will be. So I thank you for that.
Yes, yes. Thanks so much, yes. Sister Williams. And yes, we would love to participate. Just keep us informed.
Yes, sir, I will. Thank you.
Okay. Again, thank you. And if there's any other comments, we welcome your comments. If not, then we are going to say good night.
Assalamualaikum. Good night.
Alaikum assalam. Good night.
If you had a choice of colors, which one would you choose, my brothers? If there was no day or night, which would you prefer to be right? How long have you hated your white teacher? Who told you you loved your black preacher? Do you respect your brother's woman friend and share with black folks not of kin? People must prove to the people
a better day is coming
for you and for me. With just a little bit more education
and love for our nation
would make a better society. Now some of us would rather cuss and make a fuss than to bring about a little trust. But we shall overcome, I believe, someday, if you'll only listen to what I have to say.
And how long have you had your white teacher?
Who told you you love your black preacher? Can you respect your brother's woman friend and share with black folks not of kin? I say now people must prove to the people
a better day is coming
for you and for me. With just a little bit more education
and love for our nation
would make a better society. And if you had a choice of colors, which one would you choose, my brothers? If there was no day or night, which would you prefer to be right? And if you had a choice of colors, which one would you choose, my brothers? If there was no day or night, which would you prefer to be right? If you had a choice of colors, which one would you choose, my brother?